hell is this?
Say we don't get enough Brad Paisley on the Sean Green Show, huh? Hey, welcome back. This is the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody for listening. Make sure you check out the Sean Green Show Facebook page. Make sure you check out SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you go everywhere where you can find the Sean Green Show. Right now, I want to bring in Ray Carcillo. He's a review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much, Sean? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. No, my borderline playing Brad Paisley kind of threw me off. So. Oh, man. You know what? So one thing I definitely wanted to talk to you this week about was, you know, purchasing game exclusivity and if it's bad for game for the gaming business. Last week, you know, at Gamescom 2014, Microsoft announced the Rise of the Tomb Raider would be exclusively for the Xbox One and Xbox 360 in 2015. Now, for me, I'm a fan of Tomb Raider, and I was kind of upset about this because I'm not an Xbox guy. I'm a Sony guy. I love PlayStation. Do you think this is a wise decision for this to happen?
Well, this particular instance is an anomaly. This is very weird. The entire situation about this, it seems that Square Enix, I guess in their desperation for cash, went to Microsoft and didn't even go to Sony to offer the exclusivity. The thought process that many believe, and myself included, is that because they could lobby to Microsoft as a competition to Uncharted, because both games are due out around the same time and they didn't want to compete with Nathan Drake. Of course, again, yes, obviously, I mean, 80% of Tomb Raider gamers are on Sony systems.
Right.
That's a fact. I mean, Tomb Raider's always been with Sony. It's always been, you know, considered a Sony franchise. I mean, even when it did go to, you know, Xbox 360 and to, you know, other systems, so for Tomb Raider fans, it's definitely a weird move, and I think it's good for Microsoft, because there obviously are going to be people now who, there is going to be at least a small percentage of people who will go out and buy an Xbox One for this game. It's another feather in their cap. It's another exclusive. Unfortunately, it really seems like Square Enix didn't really think about what they were doing in this particular instance. And a lot of us are still scratching our heads over it. The only thing we can think of is that it's because Microsoft went to them with a lot of money, or Square Enix went to them asking for a lot of money, and it's just to try and compete against Uncharted, because it's coming out at the same time, and obviously you can see the similar themes between the two.
Yeah.
So that's my only thing that I could think that happened. But I think overall, I think game exclusives on consoles, I think are a good thing, because it helps, you know, it gives each system their own defining traits. Yeah. You know, I mean, if everything came out on every system, then you really wouldn't need all these consoles, and you'd probably see a lot of companies out of business. And it also gives companies a chance to express themselves creatively that they might not be able to do in other places. And develop their own brands and really have ownership of them. So I think overall exclusivity is good. I don't think this Tomb Raider one, though, was a smart move, because traditionally, it's just not smart for a third party to do something like this, especially when you have a franchise established so much on the other systems.
Yeah, I mean, because I looked at it when I heard about it. I'm almost ready, if they in the future say, okay, we're going to release a Tomb Raider for, you know, for the PS4. At this point, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back to them. Like, I'm one of those purists where it's like, it's almost like if they release Mario Brothers on Sony or something like that, and I'm like, what? You know, if I own Nintendo, you know, but it's to me a weird move. I didn't like the move personally, so I think I'm just done with Tomb Raider as a whole. And I heard they were doing this with the upcoming release of Bayonetta 2. Is this different from what's going on with Tomb Raider?
Well, Bayonetta 2, basically what happened was nobody really wanted Bayonetta 2. So Sega in their Destiny, with, I mean, Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive. It's being bundled, Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, doing basically one disc, both games, going to be on the Wii U. But the reason for this was, is that both Microsoft and Sony turned down Sega when Sega came in saying they wanted to make a sequel. So that's also a different story too, whereas Nintendo, you know, basically saved this franchise from basically just being a one and done. And also, I mean, it's also good because, you know, first off, the franchise doesn't have nearly the history of Tomb Raider. It's only had one game. And Nintendo, to try and make up for that, is putting out in the same disc, all for one price, both games. So this way, if you are a Nintendo person, you want to get a Wii U, you want to keep with Bayonetta, you're going to get both games for the price of one, so that you can get caught up and into the franchise. So I think this is a different scenario where I don't think Tomb Raider was in any risk of dying off. I think that Bayonetta, though, was a franchise that Sega and Platinum Games, they wanted to keep it going. Now I think it's Nintendo's publishing it. Sega sold Nintendo the right to keep it going, and then Platinum Games came in and said they wanted to keep going, doing it as well, keep developing it. So this is the case of a franchise would have died had another person not come in.
Okay, great. We're talking with Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. Let's talk about Assassin's Creed Unity, the first 11 minute of gameplay. Based on what you've seen, how do you feel about the game so far?
Oh, I'm very excited. I think, this is first. Last year, Assassin's Creed 4 was still a transitional period. This one, Assassin's Creed Unity, they've had time now with next-gen systems. They're really getting a lot of that. You've seen NPCs on screen there before. What really impressed me the most, though, was the parkour. How our Arnold Dorian, the main assassin character in the game, gets around 18th century Paris. How he, you know, it's not, you know, these pathways that are very clearly laid out anymore. It seems to be a lot more fluid. You can kind of slide down a building. You don't always have to look for, you know, a haystack to do a leap of faith. They're still in the game, but they're not necessary now to get from point A to point B. So I think there's a lot more freedom, a lot more fluidity of movement, I think, which is really impressive. And I think what also really blew me away was how open-ended assassination missions are. In the 11 minutes that we saw, there is basically, if you do certain things along the mission, certain side objectives, you open up extra pathways. You can open up doors, or you can open up different assassination scenarios to help eliminate your target. And I think giving players more options is always a good thing, and I think it really allows players to will hopefully allow them to play how they want to play. And I think that's has wanted from Assassin's Creed for a while. So I'm very excited right now for Assassin's Creed Unity. Of course, we have to wait and see in October how it's all panned out. But from what we saw, very excited.
Great. Let's talk about Diablo 3, the Ultimate Edition. Now, what are some of the new features in Ultimate Edition?
Well, in Ultimate Edition, this is the big thing with this is, aside from getting your main Diablo 3 game and the full DLC Reaper of Souls, there's a new feature called Nemesis, which really is actually very impressive. If a monster kills your character in the game, the character will actually leave your game and go into a friend game, and it will be stronger than it was in your game. And what can happen is that, you know, it'll basically read your friends list. And what happens that is then if your friend dies, the monster gets stronger again, goes to a friend on their friend list. So the theory is you could actually, if you're all in a small knit circle of friends, the monster could come back around to your game, be 10 levels higher than it was, be completely, you know, evolved and monstrous. And what is cool is that it doesn't have the name of what it once was. It has the name of the person it killed when it goes into your game. So you know who couldn't beat this particular creature. And then, you know, why it's in your game and why it's so much stronger than it might normally be if it's a certain species of monsters or whatnot. So the Nemesis feature, I think, is something that's really, really cool. I think that's something that a lot of fans are really embracing so far with Diablo 3 Ultimate Edition. And I think that it just really gives a twist on dying in a video game.
great. And with the success of Diablo 3, do you think we'll ever see a World of Warcraft on the console?
I think because it's, see, that's hard, right? But I think we could see it, but I don't think that Blizzard has any plans or any wishes to do that because it is such a PC entrenched community at this point because the games are around for so long. I think that, you know, because it is there's expansions and whatnot, it's continuous, but it's not like, you know, Diablo 1 and Diablo 2, Diablo 3, where there's these defined chapters in the game. I really think that World of Warcraft is just going to stay on computers, even though games like ECU Online and Planet Side have shown that, you know, these MMORPGs could work on consoles. I don't think you're going to see World of Warcraft make that transition, because especially there's so many layers in that game now over so many years. For them to go back and to try and start from scratch, like, they need to be starting from scratch to try and bring that game into consoles at this point.
Okay, great. And there you have it. We're talking with Ray Carcillo. I'm getting the time from my board up there. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com, RayCarcillo.com. If you want to follow Ray on Twitter, he's a cool guy to follow, at Ray Carcillo. Make sure you hit him up on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us each week. Man, I really appreciate it. And
thank you, Sean.
And we'll be back right after this.